Today's reading is from 1 Kings 22, verses 51 through to 2 Kings 1, 18. Ahaziah, son of Ahab, became king of Israel in Samaria in the seventh year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and he reigned over Israel 2 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord because he followed the ways of his father and mother and of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who caused Israel to sin. He served and worshipped Baal and aroused the anger of the Lord, the God of Israel, just as his father had done. After Ahab's death, Moab rebelled against Israel. Now Ahaziah had fallen through the lattice of his upper room in Samaria and injured himself. So he sent messengers, saying to them, "Go and consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, to see if I will recover from this injury." But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, "Go up and meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and ask them, 'Is it because there is no God in Israel that you're going off to consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore, this is what the Lord says, you will not leave the bed you are lying on. You will certainly die.' So Elijah went. When the messengers returned to the king, he asked them, 'Why have you come back?' 'A man came to meet us,' they replied, 'and he said to us, go back to the king who sent you and tell him, this is what the Lord says, is it because there is no God in Israel that you are sending messengers to consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore, you will not leave the bed you are lying on. You will certainly die.' The king asked them, 'What kind of man was it who came to meet you and told you this?' They replied, 'He had a garment of hair and a leather belt around his waist.' The king said, 'That was Elijah the Tishbite.' Then he sent to Elijah a captain with his company of 50 men. The captain went up to Elijah, who was sitting on the top of a hill, and said to him, 'Man of God,' the king says, 'come down.' Elijah answered the captain, 'If I am a man of God, may fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men.' Then fire fell from heaven and consumed the captain and his men. At this, the king sent to Elijah another captain with his 50 men. The captain said to him, 'Man of God, this is what the king says, come down at once.' 'If I am a man of God,' Elijah replied, 'may fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men.' Then the fire of God fell from heaven and consumed him and his 50 men. So the king sent a third captain with his 50 men. The third captain went up and fell on his knees before Elijah. 'Man of God,' he begged, 'please have respect for my life and the life of these 50 men, your servants. See, fire has fallen from heaven and consumed the first two captains and all their men. But now have respect for my life.' The angel of the Lord said to Elijah, 'Go down with him. Do not be afraid of him.' So Elijah got up and went down with him to the king. He told the king, 'This is what the Lord says. Is it because there is no God in Israel for you to consult that you have sent messengers to consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Because you have done this, you will never leave the bed you are lying on. You will certainly die.' So he died, according to the word of the Lord that Elijah had spoken. Because Ahaziah had no son, Jeroboam succeeded him as king in the second year of Jehoram, son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. As for all the other events in Ahaziah's reign and what he did, are they not written in the book of the annals of the kings of Israel?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Jacob, and so good, folks, to be with you all. Well, boys and girls, it's great to have all of you here because I think that's very special. And I hope you have a Bible or your dad has a tablet or something and you can read along. But there's a question I have for you, and that is that if you're in a house where the Bible is regularly read, I'm guessing that you have a favourite Bible story. And I'm guessing that all the big people have a favourite Bible story too. And I'm guessing this is probably not it. Here we are. Fire from heaven, dead bodies all over the place, an evil king, and at the end of the story, he's dead too. So this is not happy stuff. And maybe next time we read this, we should have a warning like they have on TV. Warning. Some material in this segment could shock those who hear it, because this is a truly shocking passage. And boys and girls, two main characters. The first one is the king, Ahaziah. He's a wicked king. He's an evil king. He worshipped Baal, the false god, and he made God very, very angry. His heart is as hard as concrete. He's the first one. And the second main character is God, the Lord Jehovah, the true God who made the heavens and the earth. He made you, he made me, he made us and everything. And that God, as we heard earlier in our service, he entered into relationship with his people Israel, and he wanted them to love him and serve him with all their heart. Now, this God had a prophet Elijah. He's not the third character, he's on God's side. So we've got Ahaziah, the evil king, and we've got God, who is very, very angry. They are the two main characters. And friends, as we think of that, and boys and girls especially, we're going to have a look at two things today. And I'm going to weave those two main characters, the hard-hearted king and the angry God, I'm going to weave them together into these two things we're going to talk about. And before we come to the first thing we're going to talk about today, I want to ask you, what are you scared of? What's it for you, boys and girls? Maybe you're scared of the dark. I know people who are scared of spiders. Other people just are scared of snakes. What are you scared of? And today, the first thing we want to see is there's something we should be way, way more scared of than the dark or spiders or snakes. And that's sin, because sin is truly scary. Come back with me to the start of the chapter. We're at verse 1 of the first chapter in 2 Kings. Moab has rebelled, and Ahaziah, the evil king, the hard-hearted, concrete-hearted king, he has had a fatal accident and he doesn't know if he's going to recover. This is serious stuff. And already God is sending warning lights on the dash to help us see what's going on here. And we'll pick up some of that along the way. So what does Ahab, the hard-hearted king, do? Sorry, Ahaziah, my mistake. Well, he doesn't pray to God. Instead, he's too sick. So he sends his messengers to go and consult Baal-zebub, literally God of the flies, or Lord of the Fly, or Lord of the Flies, if you like. He's the god of Ekron. Ekron was one of the big Philistine cities outside Israel, and they were the enemy. Well, he's the god there, or that's what people think. And the reason he sent his people to go and consult Baal-zebub is because he wants to know what the future holds. Will he make it? Or won't he? Because he's had a fatal accident. And as we think on that, that is scary. Here is God's king going to a fortune teller, going to a palm reader, going to a something else to try to tell him what's going to happen. That's scary. That's like you going to church this morning and then this afternoon ringing up a fortune teller or one of the people who advertise in Saturday's Advertiser and saying, look, I need to know what's going to unfold in my life and you're the one to help me. That is genuinely scary. And then something else happens. The messengers are on the way and then the angel of the Lord appears. Now, boys and girls, please don't think of the angel Gabriel. Please don't think of the angels in the fields around Bethlehem who came to the shepherds on the first Christmas night. It's not one of them. This is the angel of the Lord. He's a very special person in the Old Testament. It's an angel, a messenger, who is actually God. God has come to earth. God has come in a form he can be seen. God has come as a person. Now, we could talk a lot about that, and there's lots of Bible passages. I can't do that this morning. I just want to say this is Jesus before he was born in Bethlehem. He appears, and his message to Elijah is this: go up and meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and ask them, is it because there is no God in Israel that you're going off to consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Now, we read this three times in our passage right through, so immediately we should be thinking something's going on here, and it is. Now, what happens? The king hears this word, but he takes no notice. He has heard this word from the Lord. And what does he do? He sends a captain and 50 men to Elijah, who's sitting on a hill. And we read this and we think, really? Seriously? 51 trained soldiers to take one prophet? This is over the top, surely. Well, they want Elijah to come down. He speaks, fire comes down from heaven, and there are 51 soldiers who are burned. So that day, there were 51 people who weren't going home. There were 51 families whose dad wasn't coming home. There were 51 wives whose husband didn't come home. And then it happens all over again. A second lot. There's 102 men who are not going home that night. Now try to imagine 100 people, 102 people taken out of this congregation just like that. There's this massive hole here. What is going on? It's just complete carnage. 102 burned bodies? Why? Why the fire? Is Elijah just being a grumpy old man? Well, no, he's not. And the clue is in the fire. Do you remember, and boys and girls especially, I hope you've heard, and if you haven't, ask your mum and dad about the great God contest back in chapter 17. Mount Carmel. Elijah, as the prophet of the Lord, against the 450 prophets of Baal. Who's the true God? Will the true God please stand up? Is it Baal? Or is it the Lord God Almighty, the God of the heavens and the earth? And we know who wins that one, don't we? And once again, it's the same thing. Who's the real king? The Lord God of heaven, or the evil, hard-hearted King Ahaziah? And King Ahaziah just doesn't get it. One lot of 51 men, another lot of 51 men snuffed out, and he just doesn't see it. And that is scary. And then Ahaziah sends another captain and another 50 men. And this captain is no fool. He knows what's happened, and he knows what's waiting, unless he gets to be a little bit humble. And he does. And he pleads with the prophet Elijah. The prophet Elijah goes to the king, and we read again these words. This is what the Lord says. Is it because there is no God in Israel for you to consult, that you have sent messengers to consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Because you have done this, King Ahaziah, you will never leave the bed you are lying on. You will certainly die. And it says, so he died according to the word of the Lord that Elijah had spoken. 102 men who had died, and the king, who should have known better, has died friends, this is scary. And you know what makes it even more scary? It was all so unnecessary. He didn't need to lose all those soldiers. The fire from heaven didn't need to come. It all could have ended up so differently. And that's what makes sin scary. It's a truly scary thing. And to understand that, we've got to step into the New Testament. And I'm going to do that now. And we're going to jump straight into the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, where the Lord speaks to us through the book of Hebrews to the church. And he says this: "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God." And we would say, just like Ahaziah had done. We go on. "But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." And brothers and sisters and boys and girls, I put that up there so that we can stop for a moment and see how sin works and why it is that it is scary. Have you ever seen some shorts, have you ever seen shorts of a movie, or you've been on the net and you've seen a trailer and you think, that looks good. So you buy the movie or you download the movie or you go to watch the movie, and at the end of it you think, oh, that was a dud. That was poor. That was a woeful movie. I got tricked. Well, that's how sin works. It's deceitful. It tricks us into thinking that we can break God's law and get away with it. And it doesn't matter. It tricks us into thinking we can step over his wise boundaries and we can just do our own thing. We can live for ourselves, and really it doesn't matter. When in fact it matters a whole lot. Sin tricks us into thinking what we're doing is okay, but it's not okay. Paul Tripp talks about those little moments of disloyalty to God. Disloyalty. And you know them. I certainly do. You think or you do something, and in your heart, you know it's wrong. But you tell yourself, I can handle this. Lots of other people do it. It's only once. It might even be fun. So you dive in. Can you see what's happened? Sin has tricked you. And if you keep diving in, it's like a layer of hard skin over a callus. And then another layer of hard skin. And then another layer of hard skin. You've been tricked, deceived, and your heart hardens and it gets as hard as concrete. And that's scary. That's embarrassing. And it's confronting. And friends, I want to say to you one thing. We need to own this. We need to stop running. We need to stop pretending about those things. And as we do, we have to say all of us need help here. Pastor John needs help. We all need help with this. And that help comes from two places. That help comes from the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because those sins, if only we would stop running from them, those sins have been covered by the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Those sins can be defeated by the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If only we will go to that instead of today's equivalent of the God of Ekron. Friends, there's a second source of help, and that's us. one another. We need to stop hiding and stop playing church and be open and honest with one another in appropriate ways and hold one another accountable. We must. Because if you can't find grace in a church and the grace to be honest with those who love you enough to confront you, then you can't find it anywhere. You find the grace we need in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you find it here when together we get to work on this. Because it's scary to think that I could have a heart and you could have a heart that's as hard as concrete like King Ahaziah had. Sin is scary, and you don't want a heart that's like his. So let's move on. Boys and girls, I said there were two things. The second thing is the loving anger of God. There's no slides for this apart from the title, and that's what I want us to focus on. Now, boys and girls, that might sound strange that someone can love you but be angry, but doesn't that happen often in your house? How does it work? When your mum or dad says to you, please clean up your room, and you don't. And then they say to you, please clean up your room, and then you don't. And then they come to you, and you know what's going to happen next. You know you're in the red zone, the danger zone. You know that it might be a smack, it might be something else. And for all those who are not boys and girls, who are teens living under their mum and dad's roof, you know that when you break your curfew or do what shouldn't be done and your mum or dad take your phone away for a week or you're grounded, you know when you're grumpy that they do it not because they hate you, but because they love you. If they didn't love you, they'd say, oh, well, whatever. Forget the rules, just do your own thing. When you love, you get angry when those you love do the wrong thing. And that's how God works. We work that way because that's how we're created in God's image. And we see it in this passage. God is angry, very angry. But he holds out his hands. He pleads with a disobedient and hard-hearted king. And he longs for him to change. This is where we see it happening. First, Moab rebels. In the time of King David and King Solomon, they were the king God placed, and they ruled the world. All the nations were subject to them. And now, all of a sudden, the tables are turned, and Moab's rising up against the king of Israel. What's going on? Something's wrong. This is a red flashing light on the dash. King Ahaziah, wake up! And there's a second one. He falls through the lattice and he has this fatal accident. Now today I'm not going to say every time you have an accident, every time something goes wrong, then you've sinned badly. I'm not going to say that. You can't say that from Scripture. But there are times in Scripture, and this is one of them, where it's clearly a connection that's made. It's like that with Jonah, and you know, Jonah in the belly of the big fish. He did the wrong thing. God said, go to Nineveh. He said, nah, forget that. I don't want to go there. So he went somewhere else. And it was all wrong. And he knew it. When did he come to his senses? After he got tossed off the ship and found himself in the belly of the big fish. It was then that he woke up. Now here's Ahaziah, he's on his deathbed, and the Lord sends him this other flashing red light. Not just Moab, but this fatal accident. And Ahaziah doesn't come to his senses. He goes and consults Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron. So what does the Lord do? Well, he sends Elijah. He sends Elijah to the messengers. He sends Elijah to the king himself, and Elijah tells him, you won't get better, King Ahaziah. Now that's tough, but see the mercy in this. God could have snuffed him out on the spot. There could be fire from heaven once again, but there's not. There's a period of grace. There's time flat on his back. Maybe now he'll come to his senses. Maybe now he'll repent. Maybe now he'll cast himself on the mercy of God. Maybe now he'll say, "I've been a fool. Lord God Almighty, save me." But he doesn't. He sends one lot of soldiers. He sends a second lot of soldiers. He sends a third lot of soldiers. And he still lives for a time after that. Will he reflect? Will he remember the grace of God? Will he call on the name of the Lord so he can be saved? Well, he doesn't. But he does give him this period of grace, because that's how God works. And here we see the glory of the gospel, the beautiful message of the gospel, that this God we have sinned against, this God whose commandments we have broken, this God who has loved us and at times whose love we have spurned, this God who is angry about our sin, does not load his anger onto us, but he loads it on the one who never ever sinned, who never hardened his heart, who never set a foot wrong. He lays it on Jesus, his one and only Son, and his anger burns hot, hot as the fires of hell. And Jesus takes that for us, so we can be forgiven and find a new start. The amazing love of God for us. And not only does God do that, but he also does more. In his love, he just doesn't let us go, just like he didn't let the prophet Jonah go his silly, sinful way. In the book of Hebrews, and we're not going to have it up on the screen or even go to it at the moment, I just want to tell you that in chapter 12, there's a whole chunk there. Please read it, and with your children later, if that's your habit, please read part of chapter 12 and see the Lord disciplines us for our good. What you do with your kids, the Lord does with each of us. It's usually painful, but it's always good. And it's there to set us free from our silly, sinful self. And more than that, God in his mercy gives us one another to care for, lovingly confront when that time comes. And on top of that, we have grace, time to reflect, to think about life, your death, your eternity, and where you will spend it, and to remember the Lord and reflect on his amazing love, even through his anger and his incredible grace, so wonderfully seen at the cross. So there we are, boys and girls. There we are. I doubt you'll find this story in your children's Bible at home. I looked in four of mine, I couldn't find it. Two characters, a hard-hearted, evil king and an angry but loving God. So what are you going to take home today? So boys and girls, once again, the number two. And the first thing is this: hate sin, especially in yourself, because it is there. We are all prone to wander. We are all easily tempted. We all say things and do things and think things which are wrong and destructive. Sin hardens us unless that cycle is broken, and that never ever leads anywhere good. We don't want to have a hard heart like Ahaziah. Hate sin, especially in yourself, And secondly, love God, the God of all grace, the God who is merciful, the God who sent his Son Jesus, because he loves you enough to have sent his Son that you not perish but receive his gift of eternal life. He loves you enough to at times discipline you. He loves you enough to put people in your face and on your case. And you may not at first appreciate what they have to say, but you should listen. Because if you can't find grace in a church, friends, I ask you, where will you find it? The Lord, who is gracious to each of us, wonderfully gracious, will hold us fast in the grip of his grace and will not ever, ever let us go. So friends, take those two things home today. Be encouraged. Encourage one another with these words, just like Hebrews 3 told us to. And may God bless you richly as you do. You will not be sorry. Amen.